Hello, this is Stephanie.
And Genesee.
And you're listening to the podcast, WTF is Up with Gen Z.
The podcast where we explore teen life in the digital era.
All right, we're back for our first full-length episode. So if you haven't seen our podcast before, again, just listen to the description earlier. So today we are interviewing Jimmy, who is a foreign student who has come to America for the past 4 years to study in high school. So, let's get right into this. I think a better explanation would be if we asked Jimmy. So, Jimmy, can you tell us a brief story about how you got to where you are now?
Hi everyone. I'm Jimmy. And actually, my real name is Mao Xinghao, but just to make it easier for American folks, you can call me Jimmy. So I grew up in Fuzhou, China until I was 14 and I came here. There were many reasons I chose to come to the United States, one of them being I have a higher freedom of choice for what I want to study here than I would be in a regular Chinese high school system. And also, so many people have asked me why did I choose Buffalo or the Park School, which is where I'm attending right now. I chose the Northeast of America because I loved snow. I've never seen snow before I came here, so I chose to go to the extreme. I'm gonna go to one of the snowiest places. Nice. I chose the one of the criteria for me is I can only go to private schools, as American public schools only accept international students for 1 year, but private schools can accept international students for 4 years. And I didn't want to switch around, so I just chose to go to one school for all 4 years. Other reasons, I didn't want to go to religious schools, so that excluded most of the private schools. I had an agency funding the schools for me, and they didn't give me much information, so I only had a handful of schools to choose from, and I ended up choosing Park.
Awesome.
Yes, right. That's very cool. So you mentioned that you came to America because you had more choices. What were the choices in China that you had?
So in China, the high school, you don't have elective courses in high school system, or at least not as much. The only electives you would have is like, after you finish history, you can go for advanced history, advanced world history, but you must finish them in order, and many schools do not provide those electives. But in my high school here at Park, I have the choice to, let's say, take 3 science courses in 1 semester, which I have done. And I really enjoy it, and this is what I was looking for.
So one thing with America is that a lot of people argue that the school system is flawed because it's testing to standardized tests. How does that compare? Is it more intense in China than it is in America?
It is definitely more intense in China than it is in America. I don't have the exact number of the student population, but since China's general population is 13 times the three times the United States, 3 to 4 times the United States, I'm assuming the student population is also that much more. But we do not have nearly as much resources for schooling system than the United States has. So getting acceptance to good universities in China is way harder than getting acceptance to good university in the United States. And in terms of college admission criteria, for most Chinese students, it's based on 1 measurement, 1 standardized test taken at the end of your high school. So if I were in China, this is about the time taking the test. This is the 1 score college will look at.
Oh dang, oh my
that's
God.
Intense.
There's no essay, there's no letter of recommendation, there's no internship, none of those will give you extra points. Part of the argument is that wealthier people definitely get more of those things on their kids' resume, while poor people don't. So if you're only taking it on the measurement of this 1 test, which is the same across the entire nation, it might be more fair. Yeah. And also, if you that test is, you can only take it in June in a year. So if you didn't get a good score, you didn't get in a college you like, you need to wait till another year.
Oh, wow.
Wait for another year
for
it.
That's
oh, God.
Bad. That's a little much.
Well, this is a little more of an easygoing question to do with school, but how are the school supplies different? Because in America, sometimes you'll get a list from your teachers. I don't know how that's like in China.
What do you mean school supplies?
Well, like we have plastic folders, I guess.
Yeah,
or
you'll
like the stationery.
You'll need like 9 folders per se by a teacher.
Yeah.
How is that like
okay.
in China?
It's definitely a very different system. I've never seen 3 ring binders before I came here because we just used the single plastic file container. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's just a single file, and you just used a bunch of those for different classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like using the 3-ring binders, and I'm an organization freak, so I spend a lot of time on those. But otherwise, one thing I want to mention is textbooks in the United States are so freaking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
especially when you go to college, you will have more and more financial pressure simply for purchasing textbooks. But textbooks in China are way cheaper, and actually they are included in your tuition fee most of the time,
that's nice.
And they come for you. I don't know about the college system in China, but I'm still assuming it's cheaper in the United States. I often find it ridiculous how much people can charge over intellectual property in the United States.
Yeah, so in China, is it definitely more accessible to get knowledge, or does that depend still on your social class?
I think it's definitely more accessible.
Okay. One other thing. So when you were deciding to come to America, was it your parents' decision, your decision, or a combination of both? Like, whose idea was it initially?
I would say it's a combination of both. I started trying to persuade my parents to let me come since I was in 5th grade.
Oh, wow.
And I succeeded in 8th grade, and I came here in 9th grade. I think my mom has always had an intention to send me abroad because she sent me to study English as early as I was 4, which helped me a lot in my years in the States. My dad was the harder one to persuade, and even till now, he still really wished me to go back after I finished my education here.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mom kind of wanted to, I really wanted to, and we just had to persuade my dad. That's how.
Oh yeah.
That's the decision.
So then, since you've been learning English since you were 4, when you came to America, did you think that you were adequately trained? Because obviously there's a difference in learning a language in a classroom versus being in the language. So it most likely was easier here, but how much English did you know when you first came?
A lot less than I am right now. Thing is, when you're learning a language as a foreign language, you miss a lot of things that native speakers just know and you don't, such as slangs and popular culture, and people make so much references to some TV shows, some music, some performers, and you just don't know those. I still don't know a lot of them. And the meme culture is always very confusing. In terms of adequately trained for academic, definitely not, because all the math vocab, all the science vocab, all the specific terminologies for historical things, you didn't know that. I studied all of those in Chinese and did not think of translating them to English, so I had to associate them with the English words, which was a hard process.
When you first moved here, was there anything shocking that you first saw where you were like, wow?
First saw?
Yeah.
I'm from the city, I'm a city person, though it's a very small city in China standard. It is way bigger than Buffalo. The population of my city is about a million. A million.
Oh, I was saying a billion. That's a lot of people.
Sorry.
Wait, aren't there 7 billion people in
general? Yeah. That's a real number. Sorry.
Okay.
8 million.
Okay.
But in Buffalo, it's so empty. All the buildings are so short. It's very country for me.
So, building off of that, what is another thing? When you came to America, did you ever experience culture shock, I guess?
Yes.
Okay. Can you elaborate? What are some things that, I guess, you miss from China that you wish were here or you like here and wish were in China?
Okay, that's a little bit different from the culture shock question.
You can just answer both.
I'll elaborate on the culture shock question first. Food is, to me, the center of Chinese culture. And in China, people eating is enjoyment. It's like a top priority of life. But in the United States, I get the vibe that people eat to live, to survive. It's like a necessity people have to accomplish to move on to their life. And one of the you may think I'm exaggerating it, but one of the things is, like, when people in China say they're going to hang out, they can be eating a whole afternoon, or they can be having a 3-hour long dinner, and that's normal. But in the United States, when people say they're going to hang out, they're going to have pizza as soon as possible and then wrap it up to go do other things like movies or bowling. There's a saying I heard is people in the United States eat to work, and people in China work to eat. And
interesting.
Well, other things surrounding food is, it's just a lot for me, and often in the United States people don't get why I'm so obsessed over food. Also, people serve you so slow in the restaurants in the United States. You need to wait for 20 to 30 minutes,
yes,
until the food comes, and somehow it seems like there's a cultural there's more cultural waiting on the conversation part before the food is actually served, and then the part of eating food itself. While in China, people serve food and people talk during their eating.
Yeah, because we just went to breakfast this morning, and it was a long time before the food came out, and
yeah,
we were talking before that, like you were saying, and exactly what you're saying. And then as soon as the food comes out, then you're just focused on eating.
It's silent,
and you're not really talking.
Yeah,
so that's
in China, a meal is expected to be noisy, like people talk, people can talk very loud while they're eating, and that's fine in China.
Yeah, so about meals, what would a basic meal in China consist of versus America? And I know it's going to be quite different,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
It's also quite a lot more variety than United States. In the United States, breakfast, cereal, pretty much it for most Americans.
Cereal, pancakes.
Some people make pancakes, eggs. Some people make eggs, fried eggs.
Yeah. Just variants of eggs.
In my family, when time is available, so maybe not for every school day, but for weekends, my grandma might make 2 or 3 dishes for breakfast. We can have rice, or we can we have soy milk. We have a dish of vegetables, sometimes even a dish of meat for breakfast. There are choices of dumpling, there are choices of baozi, there are all kinds of choices, and people go out for breakfast too. In terms of lunch, it really depends. Yeah, people pack lunch for their kids as well, just like in the United States, but almost everyone I know in the United States who pack lunch for themselves have peanut butter and jelly sandwich. In China, parents would make different things, and you would actually bring 2 or 3.
It's 2 o'clock.
Thanks, computer.
2 or 3 containers. One of them would be a container of soup that will be kept hot for your child, and one of them would be a rice dish.
Right.
One of them would be just rice. One of them would be, it can be meat or vegetable. So that was like the standard of lunch packing for Chinese students when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And for dinner, it's definitely fancier than the United States, yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of what you eat, so you were saying soy milk. So how relevant, I guess, or there, how much cheese and dairy are found within China?
Barely. Like, you can live in China without eating any dairy products.
So, like, when you're talking about how your meals are portioned, how much of the plate does meat consume? How much is vegetables, fruit, and then how much is, like, grains?
That's a very hard question to quantify. First, I want to, before we move on from the dairy question, I want to say that the Chinese diets, or I would say even the East Asian diets, they are based on soy products as compared to the European and American diets that's heavily based on dairy products. I would say there are as many products made of soy in China than there are different kinds of cheese and butter combined, because we have soy sauce, we have soy milk, we have thousands of different kinds of tofu using different materials, different recipes.
Really?
And so many other things. There are desserts made of different kind of soy combinations. And while in the West, it's just majority things, some kind of weird things based on milk. milk is getting a lot more popular in China, though. Especially with some kind of a modernization vibe. Westernization vibe, more like that. In terms of proportion of food that are vegetable and meat, I would say in a regular Chinese meal, there would be rice served as the main course.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would people try to have a dish of vegetable, a dish of meat, and a soup of some kind. Some family would even have a dish of fish as well, but I'm a coastal, I grew up by the coast, so maybe that's just coastal culture.
Got it.
Also, in China, there's a difference between North and South, so people in the
uh-huh.
South tend to eat rice, while the main course for people in the North would be noodles.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, huh. So, in China, what would be your favorite meal? Like, what would you want the most versus in America, if you were to go to a restaurant or just be eating at home?
People keep asking me what's your favorite food, and it seems like people in the United States have the answer for a favorite food, but I do not have a favorite food. For me, I just want different food every meal. I want different cuisines, different style.
That's cool.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
But in the United States,
yeah, I get sick so fast of food.
Yeah, in the United States, I majorly just look for Asian food. I really like a taco place on Delaware, though.
I don't know which one that is.
It's called La Divina in Kenmore.
I think I've heard of it.
There's also one in on Transit Road.
Nice. Let's see. Let's jump back onto the schooling topic. So, relating to, let's think here. So you, how was, I guess, has it been hard for you living away from your family for so long? Because you, just like if anyone does on the podcast know, you live with host families, and your parents are still in China. So, I guess, yeah, was that hard for you?
I got really lucky. I've had 3 host families during my time at the Park School, and all of them are super nice people. So that really helps a lot. But yeah, there are definitely times that you really miss your family. There are definitely times that you wish your parents are there. There are definitely events that you wish your parents can attend for you. Yeah, it's been hard, but going abroad today is not like going abroad 20, 30 years ago. Back then, you need to mail your letters. Back then, you need to you call like once a month because how expensive it was to call over abroad. And I could FaceTime my mom every night, though I don't do that. It's more like once every week.
Okay, that's nice.
Actually, it started with like almost once every day to once a week.
Oh, so yeah.
You get used
mm-hmm.
to it.
So then, other than language, I suppose, what was your biggest worry or struggle coming to America?
I don't know. There are many struggles. There are a difference in ideologies. Sometimes things I believe people do not believe here. Sometimes things I value people do not value here. Sometimes people here value things I do not value.
Can you give us an example of some of those values?
Food is a very important thing.
Yeah.
Other things like sanity wise, but that's just my personal problem. Before I came to the United States, I always know that people have stereotypes towards Chinese people. But, like, how much extent would it go? How much extent would people judge you based on stereotypes instead of who you are? Was one of my worries, but I don't care as much anymore now. I still think it's a very important thing that needs to be addressed socially, though.
Do you find that people have judged you because of the stereotype?
Sometimes, but not very often at my school.
Okay.
There are definitely very ignorant people at my school who says very stupid things. and sometimes right in front of me. That only happened once. It only happened very few times in my memory. So I'll give an example. So there's a word chiropractor, which I just learned and I did not know what it meant. So they were talking, a group of kids were talking about it and kind of overheard something about bone and pushing. So I asked them, what are chiropractors? Are they the bone pushing people or some kind? So the girl who I asked a question to right away turned her head towards her other friends and said very loudly, "Oh, is that what Chinese people think chiropractors are? They're just bone pushing people?" Right in front of me, like I. That only happened once to a very specific girl. I hope she'll never hear this. But.
Most likely won't.
There are those people here who are so ignorant. And there are people here who try to teach me about China. Not a teacher, okay? If you're talking about history teacher debating with me on some kind of modern history things, sure. But there are high school students thinking they know everything about China, and they're talking to me about those.
Oh.
That's kind of awkward, especially because you've...
This is a little bit of a topic change and might be a hard question to answer or not, but what language do you like more and why?
Ooh.
All right, I'm guessing it's hard to answer then.
I like both Chinese and English. I personally think Chinese language is more beautiful than English language, as every character has an intrinsic meaning and you can trace the etymology of each character based on how they look, but in English there are so many words that are borrowed from other language that you do not necessarily understand why they mean this in just based on English. Like in Chinese, in modern days, there are so many words that you have to create because there are something based on foreign cultures, and in English, people often do it by just doing the phonetic translation, and it's less of a case, though it's still for some objects, but it's less of a case in Chinese. In China, when there's a new thing coming, like even just for movie titles for Avengers, we would translate them based on the meaning instead of the pronunciation. But in English, I feel like there are a lot more occasions that words are translated based on their pronunciation instead of their meaning, which make it confusing for solely English-based English speakers.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you're also learning Spanish, correct?
Just started, so
okay,
I'm not going to
say
I know it.
I guess what I would ask about that is, since you obviously have come from a totally different culture than America, what do you think is the importance of more people learning about different cultures?
Vary. Things you don't know, you have a tendency to fear. You have a tendency to be scared of it without even learning about it. The more there are people who know almost nothing about China who just have an intrinsic fear or intrinsic disgust towards China. While I believe if they spend more time, if they have the interest to study more about China, they would not feel the same way. Sensing should go towards any immigrants from any countries.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
And also in terms of when you ask about language, I feel like when you study a language, you also incorporate part of the personality of the people who say the language into yourself. Language is more than just a tool. The culture of the people who speak the language is heavily embedded into the language, from the vocab, how they are used, to the grammar, to even the thing like first name, last name. Actually, in China, family name is spoken first before you say the given name of a person. So the thing you call last name here are actually first name in China.
Oh.
So like my name, my Jimmy Mao is how I'm referenced in the United States.
Yeah.
But in China, my name is Mao Xinghao. You say my last name first and then my first name. So those are all things that are embedded inside language that are just part of the culture of the people. So when you're learning a language, you become part of the people who speak the language.
Hey guys, it's Genesee.
And Stephanie.
And now we are going to
have a brief intermission to talk about some news topics. It's a new segment on our podcast. This is the first episode, so everything's new. But it's going to be something we do in the middle of the episodes and just kind of update you with some news that's going on.
Yeah, so I'll start off. And this one is with the gaming / meme community, I suppose. And it's about PewDiePie, who started a Minecraft series on YouTube that is extremely popular. And it is helping to get Minecraft to revive itself from the dead, even though it was never really dead.
It's back. Minecraft's back.
Yeah, Minecraft's back. And it's also the highest grossing game of all time now, beating Tetris, which is impressive.
Wow. Also, earlier this month, on July 4th, Stranger Things came out. Season 3. They just announced that they're going to have a season 4 as well. The writers have a season 4 all planned. It's going really well with the reviews, and I think, personally, it was a pretty good season.
I agree.
Definitely had a higher budget, but still...
That's for sure.
Very good.
Yeah, it was really good. If you're interested in the beauty community at all, Jaclyn Hill, yet again, has made some faults. So her lipsticks had hair and glass in them, and then she made an apology video, but it was a sucky one, so she deactivated all of her social media accounts, and now came back with a second apology video with even more sighs and long pauses. It was truly a work of art.
Nice job, makeup community.
Yeah.
And we also have Shane Dawson's newest video, which is over, I think, 16 million views already, and it came out earlier this week as of recording. It's about Eugenia Cooney, a YouTuber that's been on the platform for many years, since like 2012 or earlier, who has just recently come out about her eating disorder and going to rehab to get help. So awesome job, Eugenia, and good production, Shane.
Yeah, and if you're interested in, I don't even know what to consider this, just whack YouTube stuff, Tana Mojo, yes, the failed TanaCon person.
Oh, was that last summer?
That was last summer, yes. And Jake Paul, yes, Jake Paul, as of today, are getting married tomorrow. Yes, you heard me correctly, they are getting married. Let's see how long that lasts, if it even lasts past the day. Will he even get married? She will probably walk off the podium.
Yeah. Also, let's just also bring up the part of TanaCon, the fact that she went to VidCon this year.
Yay, Tana.
We have some corrupt places. Anyways, that's it for whatever this new segment is called. Back to you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And past Stephanie and Jonesy.
Yes, bye.
Bye.
I guess jumping off of that, what is one thing, like I said this earlier, but I'm going to bring it back up. What is one thing that you wish America had that China has, like culturally, I guess? So like you were saying the last name first, that's an example.
I don't really have a preference over a last name first or first name
well,
last?
Well, I'm saying that's just an example. Or one thing that America has that you wish China had culturally.
Wait, one thing I wish United States to have or one thing I wish China to have?
Both.
Okay. People in the United States love to travel on cars, which I find so daunting to drive 7 hours to New York City, and also I think it's more environmentally unfriendly because if instead of 10 people driving their on their own to New York State, it's probably way better if you develop a better transit system or on air. I hope United States have a better transit system. The current transit system in the United States is so bad.
Yeah, I think public transportation is the one thing, but I'm pretty sure that driving, like, if you're driving a car, I think that's better than driving a plane a short distance.
Driving a plane?
Yeah, driving a plane. Or flying a plane. But public transportation is really bad here.
There are an enormous number of people who drive across the United States.
Yeah.
Well,
from East Coast to West Coast. I don't have the exact number, but I'm pretty sure it would be more energy efficient if you have a better train system people use or
yeah.
a plane.
If we had better like trains and
train systems probably
yeah.
more.
I find it fun to use a train too. I think it's just interesting and different, and
yeah.
I probably only think that because I've used one very little.
I swear, if it was more culturally a thing, like the subway or something,
uh-huh.
It's public transportation, at least in our area, is more associated with sketchy people, not necessarily even impoverished, just sketchy people. So a lot of, our area at least, because I know other cities are more progressive towards that, it's just parents don't want you going on it.
Yeah, it can be deemed like really unsafe
yeah.
to just be on a train.
I feel like in United States, you only have public transportation in metropolitan cities like New York, Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, pretty much it. And also, I think one thing is, in most places in the United States, people live so far from each other. People live so scattered. Like, people have their own houses and own yards, and people like to live in suburbs. Which made it harder to design a public transportation system, while in China, during the urbanization, so many people move into apartment buildings, so people are closer together, there's a higher demand.
Yeah.
Alright, I have a question. What is your opinion on America outsourcing most of our things and getting them from China?
I support globalization.
Yeah.
I see. Every country has their comparative advantage over producing some things. The United States' comparative advantage is in the technology sector, so it would be more efficient for the United States as a country as a whole to focus on technology developments. You can certainly argue that many people's jobs are displaced doing these things, but if you are looking at the world as a whole, then you can say people in China are getting those jobs, and in the world as a whole, people are not losing jobs. It's just
yeah.
some others get the jobs.
That makes a lot of sense because I feel like a lot of people are very nationalistic, like they're very America's the best. I think that's very prominent in America.
Yes.
So what you're saying makes a good point is that shouldn't we all be wanting to be better as a global
community
versus just an area, which I think makes a lot of sense, especially with
there are definitely industries that I think should stay local in all the agriculture industries. It's just
oh, yeah.
so stupid to, let's say, send vegetable to China or send Chinese vegetable to the United States.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And
yeah.
you need to freeze the things. And that they waste so much energy just because it's a couple dollars are cheaper and you can make a lot from the price difference.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I think people should focus on the new farming technology like vertical farming and stuff to keep food local.
Yeah,
but
I agree
in terms
a lot.
Of products, things that products should be able to go abroad.
But the one thing that I've heard a lot is that How are the working conditions in China? Because I've heard various things, like the minimum wage is lower, or it's not the greatest working conditions. Is that true, or is that just kind of...
China definitely has more problems with working conditions comparing to the United States, but there are other factors you should consider before you interpret statistics on your own.
Yeah.
So you say minimum wage is lower, but the living cost in the United States is significantly higher than the living cost in China. So the wage people are afforded for working there in the factories in China are the amounts that is suitable for Chinese working class. Suitable is not the wrong word, but it's the amounts that they are not starving over.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, one thing you should always know is that if you take those jobs away, do you think those people are just better off? No, those people will lose their job.
Yeah, that's very true.
People, they choose to work in these industries. They are not forced to work in these industries.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a lot of people in China today are moving away from factory industry, from factory productions into things even like delivering, because currently there are social trends that delivering industries can offer more than the factory industry. So people are moving, so the factories are actually losing a lot of workers. So you see that everywhere, people will move for a better job if they have the option, but if they do not, the factory jobs are their best option currently.
Mm-hmm.
And China is actually moving towards outsourcing the production to other Southeast Asian countries and Africa in the coming future.
So I guess one question that I have about that is just more of a history kind of thing. So I guess it's kind of the progress of how developed a country is. So I guess factories, it's part of every country's path, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is having high factory workers. And your point about having everyone, like having the job or not having the job, makes a lot of sense, I think. So yeah, just want to comment on that, I guess. I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah, like if you bring all the manufacturing jobs in the United States, not only will the price go skyrocketing
yeah.
in the United States, the millions of people in China who work in factories will just lose jobs. There are no social opportunities that just suddenly pop up for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question. It's just, again, very off topic. I know we mentioned it earlier, but some fashion differences and similarities. I honestly know absolutely nothing about Chinese fashion, whether it's different or similar to American.
Similar in a sense, but also different. In terms of clothing, people definitely wear jeans a lot. People do not wear pants nearly as much in China as they do in the United States.
What do they wear?
Pants. Jeans. Oh. Black pants.
I thought you said they didn't wear pants.
No, I said people do not wear sweatpants.
Oh, sweatpants. I thought you just said pants. I'm like, wait, then what do they wear?
feel like long socks is a huge thing in the United States. People like having all kinds of different fancy, funny long socks, and that's just... I did not see that in China. I did not see that coming when I was coming here. I kind of like it. This weird things. It's less and less anymore, but older population, like the grandparents generation, they like just wearing pajamas to the street in China. You see a lot of those.
That's kind of fun.
And also babies to toddlers, if they are raised by grandparents just give them pajamas to wear on the streets. There's a very funny thing about raised by grandparents versus raised by parents in China. A lot of them is regarding to how you dress. They say if you are raised by grandparents, you look so country, like as country as you can possibly be, even if you live in urban area. Other thing, makeup style is definitely very different. in terms of fashion, I guess beauty standard is a significant part of fashion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many people in the United States want to get tanned. They would just sit on the beach for a whole afternoon to get tanned. While in China, people hide themselves from sun. In a hot summer day in China, you see people under umbrella regardless of there is rain because people are shielding themselves from UV light. It's just a social behavior. People in a sunny day take their umbrellas out across the street. But if, like, in a sunny day like today, if I take an umbrella out in the United States, people will think, "Are you stupid?"
or they'll call you extra. They'll say you're so extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Makeup style is very different. People in the United States tend to want to stress the depth when they are making makeup. So all kinds of different shadow. You would put shadows on the cheek to make your face to highlight the depth of the makeup, but not as much in a Chinese style makeup. There the fever over sports, over sneakers is not just to the United States. It has spread across the world.
Oh,
people
really?
In China are have what's the word? They're obsessed over Jordans and Yeezys as well.
I'm not on that trend.
Me neither.
I'm good with my Crocs.
I don't really like that.
If Crocs spread to China, let me know, please. Because
Crocs have been.
Nice.
Yeah, don't scuff my Crocs. That's,
yeah.
That's what people should be saying. The only questions I have just keep getting more and more off topic. I'm just
get off topic again. We'll just do like some quick questions, I guess. All right.
What are your plans for the future? Like, what are you gonna go to college for, if you know?
And where are you going to college? Because I know you know.
I'm going to University of California at Berkeley for college.
That's fun.
It'll be way closer to home. Comparing to East Coast, but there will be no snow, which is very sad. So what I want to go for college for? I plan to double major in college if I can handle. The first choice is neurobiology, as I'm interested in going to med school. I want to study neuroscience, if possible. I hope, possibly. That's too redundant. I hope to become a neurosurgeon in the future.
That's cool. Wow, so can't relate.
Second major I'm really interested in, and I also plan to take, is international relation, which another major at UC Berkeley is global studies.
Yeah, that makes a lot.
I also want to become a diplomat. I know I can't do both, so maybe one of them.
Yeah, that's a good thing to. Since you're going to college, what influenced your decision to go to America? I know you were considering schools in other countries, but I guess, how did you choose where you wanted to go to college, I guess?
Location is not a limitation for me, because I'm already abroad. So when I was applying, I applied to Toronto, I applied to Singapore, I applied to Hong Kong, and United States. I wished I could apply to UK, but I missed their deadline. How did I choose? Which is the best school?
Whichever is
the best school.
And then one other question. You said you mentioned Hong Kong, and I've been like researching Hong Kong a little bit. I'm just curious. So Hong Kong has a democracy kind of thing versus
China? Can call it restricted democracy.
Yeah. So then, how do people that don't live in Hong Kong view Hong Kong? Because, like, Hong Kong people don't always consider themselves part of China.
Yeah.
It's 2:30.
Thanks.
Okay, today, there's a better environment for academic research in the United States. However, this environment is... this is changing a lot recently, as the current administration is actually cutting funding for NIH research, while China is putting more money for research and academia. So maybe in just less than a decade, China will have better environments for research than the United States. So I do not know that part. There is definitely an anti-immigrant emotion in the United States, at least to some population. Mm-hmm. And that will be part of my consideration. The immigrant policy for the United States changes every year. Just a few days ago, Trump administration announced that they will increase, without cutting the number of green cards they issue each year, they want to increase the percentage for highly skilled academic workers, but decrease the percentage for humanity visas. So, for me as an international scholar in the future, it will be beneficial. That means it will probably be easier for, better chance for me to get a U.S. citizenship. But who knows how it will change in the 10 years mm-hmm. By the time I'm applying. So I don't know yet.
All right.
Sorry.
That was a good answer.
That was a very good answer.
I guess, what have you learned about yourself through your study abroad experience?
I'm better at a lot of things than I thought I was. I was a pretty shy person in elementary school and middle school, but I don't know, maybe it's just because there are so little people at Park School. I got a lot more open, I got a lot more outgoing, I made a lot more friends than I thought I was ever going to make. And I took home the leadership role in my school, student government. So I never thought I could do those, but I did it here, and I think I'm doing a okay job.
I think it's pretty admirable that you've taken the steps that you have so far, especially because you've left your home so quickly. Like, you moved away from home faster than I guess most teens would, because they usually just go for college or something. And I think it's cool what you've accomplished so far.
Thanks.
Yeah, speaking of that, sort of, what advice would you give to someone who wants to or is going to move overseas during school?
First of all, don't do it on an impulse. There are people who impulsively think everything's gonna be so much better when you move away from your parents, so they want to move as far as possible, so they go abroad, and they end up living a miserable year or something in overseas. Make sure it's something you want to do for a good reason, not for running away from your parents. That's just the main thing I want to say. And I don't know, if you have something you know you're looking for, go seek for it.
Okay, so then what are some regrets you have with this exchange, well, foreign study thing?
Regrets? If I had stayed in China, I feel like I would have a stronger base in math, at least in the algebra department, in the algebra field. I would probably have a stronger base in both chemistry and physics comparing to where I am right now, because Chinese high school course is more rigorous. My school is a really nice school, but I really wish they had provided more AP courses in these STEM classes. I know they can't because of the limitation of the number of people that are at our school, so it's understandable, but I will probably be stronger in those areas if I were in China. But on the contrary, I think I'm a lot stronger in humanity as I'm living in the United States than I would be if I lived in China. China is very STEM focused in high school curriculum. Also, I would definitely have better Chinese ability in terms of literature if I had stayed in China throughout high school comparing to in the United States. Not much regrets. I wouldn't say much regret.
That's good.
Have you had any bad experiences with host families?
No. Actually, love all my host families.
Well, that's good.
The bad experience is just when you have to move.
Oh, yeah.
none of them is because I had a problem with them. The first housemate I had, she got really sick. And she is no longer able to drive me to school. She needs to get hospitalized for treatment. So I had to move out to a new family. The second family I live with are also really nice. They are the they work as the administration at my school. But they live in Elmo Village, which is kind of far a drive to go to park. So they decided they want to move closer. So for the last 2 years, they've been living in their Canada house while their new house are getting done. And it's just it's not convenient for me to go with them across the border every morning. So I had to move to this new family. And all the three families are super nice to me, and they really consider me as a member of their family rather than just, let's say, a tenant.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So as we're wrapping up this podcast now, we're going to ask you one question, and then I'll ask you if you have any last words. Chopsticks or forks?
Chopsticks. Forks just makes things so much easier. The life is not challenging anymore. It should be more adventurous, okay? Go with chopsticks, practice your skills, and master your chopsticks.
All right. Do you have any final words after that?
I don't know.
We talked about a lot, so
yeah, we did cover a lot.
One last thing is, today there seems to be a surge of nationalism across the world, not just in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, all over the place. That people seem to be more fear of immigrants, people seem to be more fear of other countries. And especially the US attitudes towards China, I've been watching it closely. China is portrayed more and more as a threat in the press to the US audiences, and that's a very scary trend. And I just hope people to learn more before you judge superficially based on the headlines. Just to learn about the language, learn about the people, make some Chinese friends if you can, make some friends from all over the place. And don't just fight people over the internet. Use the internet as a tool for making friends, for getting information, instead of your battlefield for, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. It's just so horrible. And I hope something can be done to reverse that social trend. That's it.
All right, well, thank you, Jimmy, for coming on our podcast.
Yes, thank you very much.
This is Stephanie.
And this was Genesee.
Oh, yeah, it was. We're done now. So, WTF is up with Gen Z,
the podcast where we just explored life in the digital era.
Thank you.
All right.